Gospel, chapter 13, he has verses that speak of the ascension of Christ. Now, we learn when we were together in the meeting that the word advocate is a very important word. It means comforter. It means one who comes alongside to help, to give such a positive measure. And in the Roman judicial system, the word paraclete, that's another word for the comforter, the word paraclete was a person who was a defense attorney for somebody who was accused. And so we'll say, you know, I'm sitting down here in this chair, and there's a judge up here, and he has an accusation against me. Somebody has filed for the court. But say I have no one to defend me, and one rises up and defends my cause. They come to be a help in regards to my case. Well, we know that Satan is the accuser of brothers. He accuses them before God night and day. You remember Job, don't you? And he's got one attorney to do for another attorney. It's pretty impressive to get there. What did Job do? What did Satan accuse Job of? He accused Job that he was he was in the presence of the Lord. He must put Satan in his presence. He's accusing Job before the Lord. And he says, this man, here's him right, he serves you right, because you just put a hedge around him. Discarded him and taken care of him. And that's the reason why he has conducted himself the way he's conducted himself. And you put your finger on him and take away everything he has, and it'll be a different story. He'll curse you to his face. And so God gives him permission deal with Job. Okay? You know, God allows Satan to deal with us as Christians. And he brings accusations against us. And in here with Job, it was really, he couldn't really say anything against him outwardly. Job did nothing wrong. You couldn't even point a finger at Job any spot in his life where he really outwardly manifested personal spiritual weakness. Not so with myself, and you might feel the same with yourself. I don't know. There's a lot that I think Satan could bring before the Lord against this guy. He could accuse me of before the Lord. But, you know, it's a wonderful thing when we have the Lord Jesus Christ on our side. I want to ask you a question. When does the advocacy of Christ begin in regards to us? Does it begin to us when we sin? The blessed truth is that His advocacy is an ongoing thing for us all the time. And the Lord Jesus anticipates the course we're going to go before we're down the road and have done the thing that we should have done. Have either denied Him or dishonored Him in some way. The Lord Jesus has already anticipated and is praying for us. His advocacy is that word. And that's illustrated. Let's turn there first to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, and see if I can find it here. It might be 22. It's 22, chapter 22. And let's read here in verse 31. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both unto prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. I have prayed that thy faith fail. He had already prayed. That the Lord is already interceding in prayer for us before we fail. But he discerns, of course, that we might be going on. He knows the dangerous trip we might be taking. Now, I want to tell you. Our Lord was watching Peter. He knew what Peter was doing. He was allowed to enter into the high priest's palace. He saw him deny Christ before the maid, before the other man that noticed him. And this point where the cock crowed and the Lord turned around and looked at Peter, that it struck Peter to the heart. Now, at that point, I think the enemy, what he seeks to do to us at a point like this, is to say, you're done for. You see, it happened just like the Lord said. And the enemy would like to try to tell us, this is the end of the road for you. You utterly failed. And just this moment for you. You just blew it up. Bring the Lord encourages me in this hour. That's why the Lord said, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. You see, at that point, he could have been in despair and felt his utter wretchedness and said, I can't go on anymore. I am an absolute hopeless case. But I believe that the intercession of the Lord Jesus came in for Peter at that moment. And he looked up, even though he was weeping bitterly, he looked up to God in faith, and he put his trust in God and in the Lord Jesus. And he took courage, just like David did. You remember when Ziklag was burnt and all of the wives and families were taken away by the enemy, and even his own brethren were saying, let's get rid of David. Pretty scary moment for David. Everyone was against him. And he went to the Lord. He knew he was in a low point in his life. And he knew that that was the only place to go. And he was encouraged. And when you get to that low point, look to the Lord. He's our only help. I have to say, I don't know a lot about the intercessory high priestly work, I'm not sure. But I know a lot about it. And I often think about myself. The Lord was an advocate for me just a moment ago. And I had that naughty thought for when I got upset. The Lord Jesus was an advocate. What a wonderful advocate. So, you know, then what's encouraging here is this. Now notice what else the Lord says. Chapter 21 and verse 32. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Oh, this is a match. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Well, wouldn't that give a lot of hope to Peter's heart? To think that the Lord had enough confidence that he would turn around, put his faith in him, and be able to make a change in his own brethren's heart. Too. When you have have made this change and turned back to me, then speak to your brother. Up with the same intercession, the same character and spirit of intercession for a brother, but the Lord is taking up the rod. You are pretty amazing that you can do this in that way. And then, that's where it starts, because then you can invite me to lead us to go wash their feet. You might need us. Whether it is by ourselves or it's taken in the program, we might need to go to somebody else's feet. We have to be one of ourselves to be able to stand. So in John chapter 13, you know, washing somebody's feet is not always. Now, sometimes, at the end of the day, I give my wife a cookie, and sometimes it's not a cookie for me to do. I hope she'll forgive me. My wife has pulmonary issues. She's been ready to go to bed. Can you please give me a quick massage? But, you know, our feet in the journey to get through. Well, maybe they just speak to me. We put our feet in. Seems that don't ever get in much air. I hear what I've heard somebody say that he was standing. And our feet have a problem because they're just getting there. And that happens in our walk before God. And we're not only able to determine that it is not happening. We should be seeking enough sympathy enough. As we meet the Word of God, and if we are in prayer, that we realize that our feet are dirty, and that sometimes we think it's special so the Lord, He's just about ready to be torn out of his clothes to the cross. And he's ready to go back to heaven. And he wants to give an example of his desire. But this first verse of chapter 13 tells us the very great extent of his love. This. He loved his own that were in the world. He loved them unto the end. That means he loved them to the uttermost. He loved them, I don't know if I can say it right, but he loved them through it all, to the greatest extent possible. hear the people considering their own or his own weakness and like Galatians says, let's read that verse of Galatians 6. Verse 1, Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, we that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Now this, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So, it takes a lowliness, it takes real lowliness to do this work of rescue. So our Lord, He rises from supper, and He lays aside His garments, verse 4. He took a towel, girded himself. And after that, he poured water into his basin and he began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel he was carrying. Then he cometh to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, if thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, I ask thee pardon. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every day. And we are clean, yet not all. You know, Try to make it really hard. Don't do that. He takes this towel and wipes the water off his feet. The water of the Word of God is necessary in his feet. It's necessary to bring conviction. This wipes the water off and make this thing. Yeah. That's going to be helps. It makes this grace. And the Lord, His advocacy from heaven is a wonderful thing. But you might say there's another who's working down here on earth. And He may bring to our hearts and goes to Scripture because He's dwelling in us, and you've already guessed what I'm talking about. It's the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God is there. So, the Word of God is brought back to fit or justify it. You can either say, yes, Lord, you're right. I have seen you. And we confess it. And then he gives us the promise. I'm faithful. I'm faithful. And I trust to forgive you sin. And cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But the other path is to justify. And if you do that, you never get back into the joy of God and into the restoration of this, the joy of this path. Because it's just a terrible course that goes down, down, down. Friends, we just spoke to you, say, Lord, yes, you're right. This verse of scripture is the truth. Or my brother, that's what he brought before me. Then the Lord can make us clean, first of all by the Word of God that cleanses our feet, and then He can make us also have a hint of what His blood is efficacious completely in regard to us. His blood cleanses us efficaciously. And that's the foundation of the advocacy of God. Now I have to stop here a minute since I brought this screen out. And let's talk about the blood of Christ as being the foundation of the advocacy of the Lord Jesus. You know, every blessing is based upon the work of Christ. It is not a blessing that we have, or a work that the Lord Jesus does on our part, that is based on Christ and His work. And so, when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, and put away our sins, when His blood flowed out of His body, and God accepted it, that blood was an efficacious sacrifice for us. And we can understand that the blood of Christ took away our past. It's sometimes pretty hard to enter into the thought that He's taking care of all the sins of our future. But yes, that work on the cross not just took away our past guilt, but all of the sins we're going to do in the future are taken care of if we really know the Lord Jesus and we're a child of God. But who would want to sin against that love? Who would want to do that? If you're a child of God, you don't understand the love that sacrifices Himself on the cross and shed His precious blood. But it is a wonderful comfort to know that work has been laid down, and that when I sin, that efficacious work is there quite a wonderful thing. The assurance that you know consciously before the Holy God that all is taken care of. But there's another side that we need to think about here in verse 9. Because verse 7 comes before verse 9. It says, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We're in 1 John 1, 7, 8, and 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The sixth verse we're talking about, verse 9, has to do until Peter realized that it was pride and sin that caused him to think that he loved the Lord more than anybody else, and that there was no way he was going to deny the Lord. Go to prison and to death with him. It was on his part the self-confidence that just was not at all his fault. Self-reliance and self-confidence, it can be really spiritual confidence that is possible, perhaps either that or that. God will not allow us to get that without dealing with us. So, if we say we have no sin, sin, we deceive ourselves, and instead the truth is not in us. So Peter had to learn his own heart, how terribly sinful and wretched he was, but how wonderful the gracious heart of God. Well, it's a wonderful thing to know that the Lord loves us in spite of what we are. We will love us to the end. We will all. He will never give up on us if we are free of Jesus. What a God. The Lord Jesus. He is the Holy Spirit.
That is an example of what a brother was bringing before us. There's one who provides comfort and one who can be alongside, of another to help them. Just a brief capsule of the history of that little community. It was back in the 1700s, when it was more between French and English and their friends. And French were involved in the British states, they had settled in some of the high lands.
Verse 3.
Psalm 23, verse 3, the shepherd's song. But it says here in verse 3 that he restored my soul, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Brother Frank brought before us the subject of the advocacy of the Lord restoring Peter to his example of faith. Other examples too. As I was listening to our brother, I was looking at Mr. Darby's translation of this verse. Instead of restoring, he puts restore as reviving my soul. He needed me in the palace of righteousness for his name's sake. That word restoring has been brought before us this afternoon. It just occurred to me, I guess, that when one is restored, he's revived. Revived by the Lord. And still with a new sense of being purpose for the Lord's glory. And the precious of the Lord is attended to that need that we have when we fail. He revives us. He gives that need. His strength to continue on in spite of our own failings. And that word path. I hadn't perhaps noticed it so keenly as I had just reading on this page. Start this so deeply as the righteousness of his name. So, we said we talked a lot, we spoke a lot, we have heard a lot in this recent days. But go with path. Just bring the path to this world. It's not even easy. How wonderful. Travel that path through the righteousness of Christ. That's what he wants us to do, to move on in that path that he has set out for us. That's our prime purpose. That's our purpose of being here, is to honor and glorify the Lord for his name's sake. So, how wonderful. Does restore and give because they part of life revives us just to get us courage to press on through examples like what we have this past weekend, but being together here to be with the Lord's people. And we might gain the encouragement and strength to press on together collectively and then we'll return to our nation. One other verse over just a couple of Psalms 27. Another verse very familiar to us. Verse 11. Psalm 27, verse 11. Teach me thy way. Lord, lead me in the path of my enemies. Well, I was thinking particularly of the verse, Lord, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. Again, I reference the Darby's translation, the word plain, he calls something evil. Evil. Looking out on the floor to see what very evil. And how wonderful. We know in the Christian life that it's not always that way. That the path of faith is made up of valleys and mountains. That part of our journey is a path that's some rough terrain. Perhaps there are some opportunities and things that are more smooth for us. But the Lord desires, in spite of those ups and downs, says, you will teach me thy way, O Lord. So the heavens, and again, leading to the same as the even path of testimony of the Lord. It says here, because of my enemies, God, I trust that you will help me. Jesus Christ is the Lord. So, you know, you encounter opposition. It's so true. Even in spite of opposition or the light face, we can still tread that path of obedience and temperament of Christian virtues. That's what the Lord desires of us. And one further scripture, it's in the Proverbs. Yet another verse very familiar to us. Proverbs 3. Verses 4 and 5. Proverbs 3, 4 and 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy paths. Again, that word paths is the concluding word of this little passage. It all begins with trust. Just committing our all into the Lord's hands, and much before certain sacrifices that faith in Abraham, we trust in God, and trust in righteousness. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Be not to thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him. And shall grab thy thoughts. We're going to know what the Holy Spirit say about the Lord. One who holds our future. And what if we can know that we can, in spite of the things that we don't know, we can commit it to the Lord, to seek His way. His way is like a path. It's a path that the Lord's going to direct us along. He's thinking just briefly about how the I believe it was Job who spoke about echoing quite directly in scripture that he was about the deep of the patterns of the path of the man of the birds and bird flying through the air. And that's it. But anyway, yeah, you know the verse I mean. And I was just thinking, you know, when a bird flies through the air, it doesn't leave a jet stream behind it. You see the jet stream up here on both sides. And it doesn't leave a path through the air. And that's pretty much like the way you walk. You walk that path or play the path. Something marked out when you know the Lord happens from one step to the other, and so you see him walk along. He's helping him enjoy his fellowship as we travel that path. When all I believe is fellowship, he should direct my thoughts. Well, there was a few meditation, and I'll just leave it for encouragement. But there's a wonderful path for us to go through. Seek to follow along in that fellowship that he desires us to have with him. Right. whether being reminded of the advocacy of the Lord Jesus, we've all failed in our lives from time to time. We tend to be our Father. If the Lord has come up beside us and helped us through that time, hopefully we've learned some lessons about the failures we've had, and we still have this to go forward on that path as we wait for.